Well, those of you that stay with us throughout different services and the different things that we do, you know that we have been preaching a whole lot on revival and different things of that nature. And I certainly do believe in revival. Amen. I believe that God is up to something. I really do. I believe that God is wanting to do something in the church. And Brother Chris spoke this morning, and so I guess I get to regain my time. I don't know, but I don't know if I get to do double time tonight on the message and gain my time back from this morning. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But anyway, I've had something on my mind all week long, and I don't want to go back and really talk about Wednesday night too much. But anyway, on Wednesday, we talked about a simple topic. We talked about other things that I'll get into some of that again in a minute, that hell don't care. Now, I know that might not be real popular today to take topics like that and actually talk about them, but it really don't care. The Bible gives us in the Scripture, as I mentioned earlier today when I was at the other place, just in testimony, that the job description of the devil is found in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. And the Bible says that the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we see that in the Scripture, but yet it don't stop there. And I'm so glad it don't stop there. Jesus said the latter part of John 10 and 10, He says, but I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Now, I want to ask you to do something tonight, and we're going to read some scripture text and talk about a lot of stuff. But I want you to stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Sometimes I get too wiry, and sometimes I get very sporadic. I'm just bouncing all over the page, and I need God just to help me get focused in on what I'm to do here in my assignment here this afternoon. So, Father, I bless your name. And, Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, God, for the opportunity to come here and to preach the Word of God tonight. Father, you remind me very often, God, that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. Father, I pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost to come into this room. Not what I would say and not what I would do. But, God, I know tonight, Lord, is a challenging, thought-provoking message. But God, I pray that you, Lord God, would touch us and help us in this message. That when we leave this room tonight, that God, that we would be more aware of what's going on in our lives spiritually than when we walked in this door. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us, help us, Heavenly Father, as we preach this message. God, I pray that you'd touch my mind, touch my heart, and touch my life. And Father, you told the church of Revelation, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith and the church. And Father, I thank you, God, today in Jesus' name for all that you've done and all you're going to do. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter, if you will, chapter number 5. And I appreciate Jan. I didn't give her any notes up there tonight, but I'm sure she will follow right along with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1. I want to talk about something that a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers might not even talk about. A lot of people might shy away from. But because they don't talk about it, and because many shy away from it, it does not mean that it's not true. I want to share with you for a little bit on the topic. You all ready for this? Why I hate the devil. He's not your friend. And I believe one of the reasons, and this is a little greenology here, one of the reasons that the devil torments as many people as he torments is simply because people cuddle the devil. They give him a resting spot. They give him a place to dwell. And they make it really comfortable for Him to be in their life. And I know when I preach messages like that I'm going to preach tonight, and God helping me, and I have to be real plain and I have to be me. I can't be nobody but me. So when you preach like I'm going to preach tonight, it stirs up hell. Because the devil don't want a preacher to preach about hell. The devil don't want a preacher to talk about the devil. Because it exposes him. And it reveals him. And as long as we keep him somewhere being quite little booger man with a red suit with a little forked pitchfork and little forked tail, it's okay. But he's far more than that. Even in the scripture, he's far more than that. When you look into the scripture, Peter opens this and Peter begins to talk to the elders of the church. Notice he's talking to elders, mature ones, leaders. And he says, which are among you, I exhort you who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So Peter was saying, I'm not only one who has suffered, but yet I'm also one that has participated in the glory, a partaker of the glory. I think about the church today and I think about, oh yes, we fought the devil. But we've also experienced the glory of God. And Peter was saying that. He teaches them for the purpose of not, as Paul said to young Timothy, not getting entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So again, when Peter was talking about this, he was giving them their instructions as the elders of the church. And he is saying, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain or filthy lucre, but a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples unto the flock, or to the flock. Verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now there's a lot of meat in this. There's a lot of stuff that every verse has got a nugget in it. I don't have time to talk about every verse and every nugget if I'm going to get done with this by 11:30. Just kidding. And then he says in verse 5, likewise you younger, submit yourselves unto an elder. That's a message by itself, ain't it? He says here, yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Peter writes this in verse number 8. Sober means to be not drunken, but it also means serious-minded. The gospel is a serious thing. You've got only one shot, my friend, at heaven or hell. There's no gray area. There's no purgatory. There's no soul sleep. When we pass away, we're either going to go one or two places. So when Peter began to write this, he teaches us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and he identifies our adversary. We have an adversary. We have one that opposes the gospel. We have one who, an adversary would be considered one who is an opponent. And we see this in the Bible, and he says, your adversary, the devil. Now look at this, he says, that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, when I begin to think about this scripture and I begin to think about this message on the piggyback of Wednesday night service, I think there's something that's got to be settled in our heart and it's got to be settled in our mind. Now, as I was reading through commentary, different ones were saying different things. One of the persons was actually saying that hate is a very strong word. Hate is a word that is really a word that should not be in the vocabulary of a Christian, whereby Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because of your love one to another." And a lot of times we as Christians have a very difficult time, let me use the word like this, in trying to detest anything. Because we've always been told that we've got to be mellow, we've got to be loving, we've got to be caring. But the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. God never intended for you and I as a church to be yellow-backed, if you will, or to be a coward, if you will, to have a backbone like a jellyfish. But God intended for you and I to stand up to the devil. God intended for you and I to hate sin. Now, I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to sound harsh. I don't want to sound like I'm mad. I had a kid one time ask the grandmother, "What's he so mad about?" I'm not mad. I'm not mad. But when you feel it, it comes out that way. You know what I mean? But we've got to grow a new perspective, if you will. If we're going to live in victory, we've got to have a hate for sin. Your victory is your decision. Hello? Your victory is your decision. When we begin to use the word hate, or hate the devil, if you will. Because the scripture is a reminder of how you and I are to detest sin. We are to not entertain the devil. Somewhere along the journey of life, our culture and our society somehow or another flipped. We got confused in our mind, because the Bible said that men will call evil good and good evil. And the Bible even said that they will have a consciousness that as if it had been seared with a hot iron. May I report unto you this evening that there is still a standard that God has according to His Word. The word hate means, when you look at the word hate, it actually means forcefully reject. When we begin to look in the Word of God, there are several things that I want to share with you and several things we want to walk through together. When we look into the Scripture, we see a passage that is found in the book of Luke, chapter number 14. And we see this, and again in the Scripture in Luke 14 and 26. And the word hate is used there. And it actually says, "If any man come after me and hate not his father or his mother or wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now somebody might say, "Well, what in the world does that scripture mean?" The word hate is a word, again, that is in this particular place. Jesus said that he is not saying to us to detest our own family. But yet strong words is said here, but he is just simply saying that we ought to reject, watch this, any loyalty that separates us from God, even family loyalty. And he said all throughout the scripture, the word hate in the Bible, again, is a word that means to reject. Again, when we think about God, we think about the Word of God, and we think about actually what Jesus said Himself and what Paul the Apostle wrote in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, because, again, it is Paul writing, but he's writing from the perspective, if you will, of how that even God hates sin. Come on now. Even God hates wickedness. Even God hates the wickedness that's going on in our world today. But when you look in the Scripture, and we can see this in, again, Romans 9 and 12, the Bible teaches us to let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil. Abhor actually means, it is a word that means shudder in horror. Now, I don't want to be judgmental, and I don't want to sound like I'm in any way, shape, form, or fashion living at a different level than you are, because I'm not. But I will say this in testimony of my own life. I don't want to be around evil. I don't want evil to be named among me. I don't want to participate in sin. And the Bible teaches us, even here Paul is writing, and Paul was saying to abhor that which is evil. In other words, he talks about this, and it means to shudder in horror, not to entertain, not to be partakers, the Bible said, in other men's sin. I didn't think y'all would be shouting too much tonight, but we're going to get through this together. When we begin to look again at the Scripture, we see this. And it is a reminder of how much God Himself hates wickedness. There are so many different scriptures. Again, I'm not going to turn to all of them, but there are many that I actually could turn to and actually read you this evening. One again is there in the book of Proverbs. It's way over in the Proverbs in the Old Testament. Again, it's a reminder in chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, and this is what he says there. And he says this in verse number 13. And he says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Are we okay? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. There are some things that God hates. Excuse me. There are some things that God hates, and God hates sin. But I want to go a little further than that, and I want to remind us that God hates the devil. Hello? You say, well, how do you know that God hates the devil? How can God hate anything? And that may come across as too strong of a word this evening, but God teaches us to hate evil. Are we okay tonight? God teaches us that we are to reject and despise and to stay away from anything that's evil. When we begin to look into the Scripture, several things that came to my attention. One of the reasons that God hates evil the way that He hates evil is simply because that there was a time in the Scripture where that the enemy himself, and you may know this, and you may be a Bible scholar, and you may have studied this for years, but there was a time in the devil's life. Oh, by the way, I was reading too where that there was those that said in writing that there's really not a devil. There's those that was saying that all you have is forces of evil and forces of good. That there's good forces and there's bad forces. Well, I may not be the brightest bulb on a tree, but I remember in the Bible way back in the book of Genesis, Brother Don, where, again, you're in my... When the devil showed up there in Eve, it wasn't a force. It was the devil. He disguised himself as a serpent. Remember, he's a deceiver, he's deception. Wednesday night, he can even transform himself into an angel of light, and he can make himself masquerade and even make himself really look really, really good. That's why so many young people have fallen prey to the schemes and the trickery of Satan today, and to make them look like premarital sex is good, to make them look like that all the other things that I could go through the list, drugs or alcohol or anything else, because all the devil wants to do is hook our young people. But if you go back and you read in the Bible, and you know this as well as I do, when you read about Adam and Eve, the Bible said that that serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. He did not say the most subtle force of the field. So first of all, we're going to understand tonight that there is a real devil. There's a real devil that we have to fight. We have to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says when you've done all to stand, stand. The Bible says the devil, the adversary going about, that's not a force, that's a real devil that goeth about, and he's going about doing one thing, and that is finding and seeking one that he may devour. By the way, I don't want to make nobody feel bad in this room tonight, but if you're doing anything for God, you are on the devil's most wanted list. Now, this is a little comical, and it may not set well with everybody, but I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I want to live for God, don't you? I want to live for God so much that I make hell tremble. Come on, somebody. I want to be able to get out of bed, Brother Don, in the morning and put my feet on the floor and hell shudder and scream, "Oh, he's up! He's up! He's up!" Now I know that's me. Yeah, that ain't got a thing to do with the Bible right there, but sure made me feel good. I don't think we should play with the enemy. There's too much of that. There's too much of that in our lives today. But where did the enemy, where did the devil come from? Now, I know that there's a lot of writing about this. There's a lot of stuff about this. But just to be honest with you, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He can't be everywhere at all times. The devil is one created being that was in the Scripture a created being. Now, let me say it like this. At one time, the devil was on God's good side. At one time, he was on God's good side. The book of Ezekiel actually tells us that. The book of Ezekiel, when you go back and you begin to look at this, and it compares here of the king of Tyre, if you will, and also in Isaiah, it talks about the king of Babylon. And it talks about these two kings, and it compares these two kings and what these two kings did when the enemy entered into their lives. Ezekiel actually gives a description of the devil. And this is the description that he gives us in verse number 13 of Ezekiel 28. He says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." The devil, you have been in Eden, the garden of God. Now watch this. "Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets, and all the pipes that was prepared in thee, in the day that thou was created." He was a created being. You can look at the description, and this is what we've studied and what we've been told all of our days studying about this. He was the worship leader of heaven. He had pipes in his chest. The description. No doubt in my mind, he was the most beautiful angel of all the angels of heaven. He was a special angel that was used to glorify and to magnify God. Something happened. Something happened in the Scripture, and something happens in all of our lives from time to time. When we begin to read about the enemy of our soul here, the Bible describes him as, "Thou art the anointed cherub." He was an anointed cherub. The Bible says that covereth. "And I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." My goodness gracious, have mercy. He's seen what we've never seen. I mean, he was in the glory of God. He was in the glory of God in the midst of the stones of fire. I really don't know everything that is. That's something that I would have to go into deeper, and somebody would have to probably tell me that. But yet we see that he was there in the holy mountain of God. And he experienced the glory of God. But yet something happened. This is one of the reasons that so many times when revival comes to a church, if you're not really careful, and this is not in my notes, but if you're not really careful, the next thing that's going to happen is the devil's going to show up. The devil always comes to church. Why? Why? It's real simple. He wants to do three things. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your victory. He don't want you to get anything out of the service. He wants to get your mind on next week or your job in the morning or yesterday or somebody done me wrong song, and somebody, he wants you to get on all of this mess. He don't want you to get your mind on God. Hey, you know this, and this is again off the record. You know when we worship God, it is a reminder to the devil of something that he will never be able to do again. That's why you have trouble in worship. That's why you have trouble in praise. It's why you have trouble in song. It's because in that there is an atmosphere of the enemy trying to do everything he can to stop the worship of God. Because the devil used to be the cherub, the main worship leader of heaven. And every time we sing praises to God and we sing glory to God, it is only a reminder of something that he used to be. But God has let you and I in so that we can praise God and magnify God and glorify God and praise the name of God. Don't ever let the devil steal your praise. That's why it's so important. The next thing we begin to see this in verse number 15. This is what happens to the enemy. The Bible says, and it gives him a description of this. Thou wast perfect, complete, whole, without sin, without error, in thy ways from the day that thou wast. There's the word again, created. The devil was created. He says, till iniquity was found in thee. Evil, wickedness actually means crookedness. Iniquity actually means crookedness. There was crookedness, there was wickedness found in him, wickedness. And then we can see here in the scriptures, we look forward in this. And he says again, he says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. The Bible says, "I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." And then he says here, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. What does the Bible say? That a man that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Thine heart is lifted up because of thy beauty, and has corrupted the wisdom by reason of the brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, and that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and I shall devour thee, and I shall bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So God is saying through this king, and how that the enemy was used by this king, and he gives a description of the enemy that was in this king's life. And he was saying that thou shalt be cast down to hell. Again, when you begin to look in the book of Isaiah, when you look at Isaiah, and again, it's a description of what Isaiah saw here in the scripture. And you know these scriptures as well as me. But he says in Isaiah 14 and verse 12, look what he says. Why does God hate the devil? It's because the devil tried to ascend above the throne of God. Amen? And there's nothing above the throne of God today. And when that happens, my friend, he says in verse 12, again, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Again, when you look at the word Lucifer, adversary, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground. Thou didst weaken the nations, for thou hast said in thine own heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. That's the mindset of the enemy. That's the very thing that the enemy of your soul is still trying to get to do today. is to ascend above the throne of God. And there has been war in heaven, if you will, if I can use that. But my friend, I don't have time to get to it tonight. I've got it written down, but it would be probably an hour later if I even tried to get to it. But I just want to share a little bit more good news with you. Because your victory is your choice. Your victory is your decision. When I begin to read this, because I read in the book of Revelation, again, we're not going there right now. But I remember reading several things in Revelation 19 and Revelation 20. And I read some of it on Wednesday night. But there's coming a payday for the devil. I'll say it real simple and then I won't get stuck there. That the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist and all of those that's involved, everybody that's hated God, all the whoremongers of Revelation chapter 21, and all of those that's listed in Romans 1, the Bible says that all of them will be cast into hell. There'll be no tempter then. So one thing tonight is all I'm going to have time to get to. That was all the introduction. How do you and I defeat the devil? Oh, preacher, do tell. Do tell. I'm going to use one thing this evening that I hope that we can get a hold of, because there's many, but I'm only trying to get to one tonight. And this is a very important thing this evening. Y'all ready for this? How to defeat the devil 101. Real simple. When you begin to look throughout the scripture, there is something that Satan absolutely hates. He hates this one little thing, but it's a big thing. He hates the truth. He hates the truth. If you look in the book of John in chapter number 14, verse number 6, Jesus in the Word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. When you begin to look at this, again, when we think about the enemy of our soul, the very thing that the enemy always rejected was truth. When we think about the scripture, it describes the devil himself as one who promotes false doctrine. The devil can't stand the truth. I was thinking about this last night, and I don't know at what point I woke up last night and I had this on my mind. And even though I didn't preach this morning, I was preaching to myself sometime in the middle of the night. And I thought about this, and I thought about these words, that a half-truth is a full lie. A half-truth is a full lie. And the enemy was always good at telling a half-truth. All the way throughout the scripture, you can read this. Again, in 2 Corinthians, you look in verse number 4, chapter 4, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. This is what the enemy wants to do, okay? Y'all ready for this? I'm actually going to go back in a couple of verses. Jan, just take me back to verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul again was writing, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now look at this, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, renounced. The word renounce means to turn away from. So when you think about renouncing, and then you think about the hidden things of dishonesty. And again, this is one of the main things that I wanted to point out this evening, is the devil does not want you to hear the truth. Why does the devil not want you to hear the truth? Why is it so much easier today to live a life of deception and find society at large in deception? Again, I read several commentaries. I read several things. And there are many denominations and there are many religions around the world today that don't even believe that there's such thing as the real devil. All kinds of, look it up. But for me, I know without a shadow of a doubt that when the Bible says that you have an adversary, you have an opponent, adversary, an opponent, the devil, that he's got one thing in mind, and that is to keep you from the truth. If he can, as Paul was talking to the church there in the book of Galatians, we're not turning there, but this is what Paul said. Paul said to them, he said to that church, he said, Who has bewitched you? Who's used trickery on you? Who has fooled you? Who has beguiled you so that you can begin in the spirit and think that you can finish this thing by means of the flesh? You see, what we're doing here this evening, even though we're here in a physical person, a physical body, there's a lot more going on in the unseen world. There's a lot more going on even on the inside person of who you are, because your body, soul, and spirit. See, God is speaking to your spirit. We may comprehend it intellectually. We may understand it by means of the physical person, but yet down on the inside of you, God wants to speak to your spirit. God wants to speak to your soul. He wants to speak to that unseen person that you are. And the devil also wants to speak to that unseen person that you are and destroy that unseen person that you are, because as your heart goes, so goes the rest of you. Come on, somebody. We see this in the scripture again. And he says that you have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, this is what the word says. He says, not walking in craftiness. This again goes back to the garden. He was more subtle. He was crafty. He was the most subtle beast of the field. He was there. He beguiled Eve. And Eve said, hey, take this, whatever fruit it was, and eat this right here. And the husband was there. And he looked at his wife and said, well, you did it, and I'm going to do it too. And before you know it, sin had entered into the heart of man. I know there's a remedy. Thank God for the remedy. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus is and Jesus became the remedy. Come on, somebody. He is our remedy today. There is a remedy. But yet we look here in the scripture and the Bible again reminds us. Watch this. The Bible again reminds us. Again, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Come on. The truth. He says again in the word, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look in verse number 3. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If in whom the God of this world, who is the God of this world? The devil himself. He's the prince and the power of the air. We see that in the scripture. But the Bible says, in whom the God of this world, little g, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me just say it like this. The enemy fought God in the beginning. The enemy has fought God all throughout time and his people. And the enemy will fight God and his people to the very end. Do you know there's a period of time that, and again, I don't have time to get into it. There's a period of time, the song that we sing, we'll have no tempter then. 1,000-year millennial reign. There'll be a time that we will be with Christ and there'll be no devil. He'll be chained. He'll be locked up for 1,000 years. And then he's loose for a little season. And Brother Don, you know, you've read it enough. He's going to do a whole lot of destruction during that time. But yet there's coming a payday for him. Let me hurry right through this right here. The Bible says this again when you begin to look at this. He says here in the scripture, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What happens? Because there becomes, Jesus said, the gospel of Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only thing that will dispel the darkness is the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You want your life to get back on track? Turn the light on. You want your life to get back on track? Live by the glorious gospel. Look at this. He said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look in verse 6. He said, For God who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we look at this and we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan, if we're going to defeat Satan in the day and the hour that we're living in, your opinions, my opinions, games and gimmicks, and all the fad things that goes on in Christendom today, all of those things will not work. Been there, done that, won't work. Jesus is the only one that's going to give us hope tonight. Jesus, the truth, if you will. Throughout the scripture, again, we read several different things about Jesus saying this. When we begin to look in the book of Ephesians, truth is one of those things that triumph over everything else. You know, a lot of times we see this in Ephesians chapter 6 and 14. Ephesians 6 and 14, one of the things I've told people in days gone by, if you tell the truth, you'll never have to worry about what you said. The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. I've met people, I'm not throwing stones, it's just a simple fact. I've met people, and the old thing says, well, how do you know they're lying? Because their mouth is moving. I've met people in my days that have just... And it is crazy the way this works. If they open their mouth, the lies just start spewing out of their mouth. They don't even have to think about it. It just automatically just comes out their mouth like a fountain. Why is that? How is that? Because he's the father of lies. And the Bible reminds us that the truth is not in him. When you look in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, and we look at this again, and this is where Paul was talking about the armor of God. Ephesians 6 and 14, this is what he says there in the word, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Loins. In the runner, they would have to draw up their garment, and they would have to be able to run without getting entangled in the garment. They would pull up that garment again. He is telling us again, having your loins girt with truth. How are we going to defeat the devil in the year 2023? We're going to defeat him with the truth. Oh, let me say this. You don't have to argue with the devil. You don't have to argue with him. Stand in the truth. The stand in the truth. I come up with an old cliche years ago, and I often remember it in my own life because this is not a Bible proverb, but it's an Alan Green proverb. It's one that I've used all my days, even as a pastor. Not to get entangled in conversations and things that don't make no sense, and things when people are just, not here at Thomasville, but when people are just trying to stir you up and stir up trouble. And it happens. I come up with an old cliche in my own mind, my own heart, that simply goes like this, that he who argues with a fool will soon become one himself. You don't have to argue with the devil. Matter of fact, you don't even have to convince the devil of anything. He already knows. He already knows, Bob, the truth. Jesus is the truth. Now, in this, and I'm going to be done here in just a minute. I knew I wasn't going to get done. I didn't even try to get done. But again, we see this because what is it in our life today that is going to bring us the victory is truth. The devil hates the truth. Somebody says, tell the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth. So help you, God. Tell the truth. Some people can't stand that. You'll never defeat the devil until you can walk in truth. Again, I'll get to another scripture here in just a minute as we kindly wrap this up. But John chapter number 8, Jesus again talking to his disciples in verse number 31. And this is what he begins to say there. You know the scripture as well as I do. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Look at these next few verses, verse 32. He says, and you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. You shall know Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The devil sinneth. The devil lies from the beginning. The devil is filled with deception. What God is looking for today is a people, is a church, somebody that will square their shoulders and say, we're going to live by the truth and the truth of God's word. And we think about this today, and Brother Chris mentions it all the times, and we think about, and again, I got it written down, but I'm not going to go into it right now, but I'm going to mention it. There's so many things today, and there's so many people telling our children lies. On birth certificates now, friend, they're going male or female, and they're putting a side box. I don't know if this is true. I heard it was true. I don't know. Just put an X over on the side. Let them decide what they're going to be when they grow up. God made them male and female. I don't want to get stirred up this late in the service, and I don't want to seem judgmental. But there's a difference between a male and a female. And they're telling our kids, homosexuality is cool, it's fine, ain't nothing wrong with it. God says it's an abomination. We don't hate the person, but we hate the sin. Hey, God hates the sin. It's all over the Bible. Romans 1 talks about it. And even in the whole book, and even not only there, but in the book of Deuteronomy and how that the latter part of the book of Revelation, that's a whole different message for another time. But God hates sin. The truth. Stand in the truth. The man that won't stand for the truth will fall for anything. Stand for the truth. Young people, listen, there's only a few here tonight. Don't buy into that mess that the world's trying to tell you. If you're a young lady, be a young lady. If you're a young man, be a young man. Don't buy into that mess. And that's what the devil is good at, is filling our society today with deception. John, again, when you look in John chapter 8, we look in verse 32, look in verse 33 and forward. This is what he says. He said, then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How saying thou ye shall be made free? Look in 34. He says, as Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, so whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. 35 says this. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. One more verse, 36. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You can live free of the devil by the truth. Again, when John was talking about this, and I'm going to read a couple of verses and I'll be done. When you read this in the scripture in the book of John, this is back in the 3rd John, right before the book of Jude and Revelation. He says this in 3 John in verses number 1 through 4. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Isn't that awesome? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He says, because Gaius, this is John writing. He said, I wish this for you. He said, because you walk in truth. I want to see above everything else in your life that God will bless you and God will prosper you. And then he says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee. Even thou walkest in truth. Look at this. Verse 4 is awesome because he says, I have no greater joy. This is John writing to Gaius. He says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children walk in truth. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You want to know how to defeat the devil? walk in truth. Walk in truth. There's a real devil. There's a real devil. People have told me, preacher, I've met him. I know him by name. I know him. I know him. I've met him. I have too. We have to stand. If I had time, I'd go into it. I don't have time to do it. But Ephesians teaches us in Ephesians 6, spiritual warfare, that when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. I told them Wednesday night that in the outfit of the Roman soldier's armament, there's never a covering for the center of his back because he was never allowed to turn and run. That they had to stand. Maybe you're in this room tonight. Maybe you've struggled this week. Maybe you've felt like the enemy has tried to bombard you. Maybe this was just a reminder this evening that there's a real devil loose. And he is. But he's defeated. Again, if I had time, I'd go all the way back to Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20. And Brother Wes, you've read this many times over and over. And Bob and those others that's in this room that's preached and teached. Where does he end up? In the lake of fire. That's where he's going, Don. He might do everything he can right now. But I believe Brother Stevie knows his time is short. Let him howl, let him growl. Let him do everything he can because he knows his time is short. Go back to our text for just a minute. The Bible teaches you and I to be sober, to be vigilant. Don't lay down your armament. Don't quit. Don't get slack. Don't grow weary. Don't leave your heart unprotected. Because the Bible, again, in the book of Peter, he tells us, he's a reminder. He reminds us of this in, again, 1 Peter 5. And you look in that scripture and he says, to be vigilant, to be sober, because your adversary, the devil, he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I remember several years ago, as you stand with me, several years ago, Kay, she might still be here, but we come up with this little catchy phrase and we would declare, not today, devil. Some of you need to stand in the truth and stand with your helmet of salvation and your breastplate and shield of faith, shoes fit for you, the gospel of peace. And you need to declare at the top of your lungs, enemy, not today. You've already come to the wrong person. Because 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Remind the devil, you are already a defeated foe. You say, preacher, you don't know how hard it is. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how long, how hard I have fought to keep the victory in my life. But when you've done all to stand, the Bible teaches us, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, where Paul was telling young Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to faith. Put your trust and your confidence in God. And I know that God will see us through. I hope this helps somebody. I hope it just served as a reminder to let you know you are not defeated. You're not defeated. You're looking at a child of God. You're looking at a victorious person tonight. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's already done. He's already stomped the devil under his feet when he come out of the tomb and they thought they had him in the tomb. When Jesus come out of the tomb, he came out of the tomb victorious over death, over hell, and the grave. The old song says, there ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Brother John, they couldn't hold him down. The devil's like a big bulldog on a chain. He can't come but so far. Said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. You don't know how hard it's been, preacher. No, I don't. But I do know how good Jesus is. And I do know that God is for you and God is not against you. So, Father, I pray, God, even right now in this room, I pray, Father God, that those that are struggling and those that's going through the things they're going through, that God, that you would bring victory. That God, that you will bring victory to those that struggled, those that's been dealing with things that I don't know anything about. God, give them victory tonight. Oh God, would you bring the victory to somebody in this room tonight? Oh Holy Ghost, would you bring victory to somebody in this room, God? They've been struggling in their mind. They've been struggling in their life. They've been struggling trying to sort it all out. But God, I pray today that we be determined that we stand in the truth, that we walk in the truth, that we live by the truth, that God, that we put our stake in the ground. As the book of John said, that thy truth has set us free. And God, I thank you for the freedom that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Maybe you're in this room and maybe you just need somebody to stand with you and you need somebody to pray for you. I know it's late and I know you're tired and I know you might need to go home. I understand that. But if you're in this room and you need prayer, I don't want to close this service without giving you the opportunity for prayer tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'd just love to feel Jesus one more time in my life. I'd love to feel God one more time in my life. God, I just need victory tonight. If that's you, if you'll come, we'll pray with you. We're not going to leave you. We're not going to leave you out tonight. Father, we thank you for every soul and every life. God, bring victory. Bring victory, God, to every person. And Father, we thank you, God, for all that you're doing, all that you're doing, and all that you've done. And Father, we declare over this company and we declare over this congregation. We say it to ourselves and we walk in it. We declare it and we walk in it as we leave this room, that greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Go in victory, but wait just a minute. You have to come up here. We can't hear you.